Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Vince Lentini, the Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President of Affinity Gaming, on the unique marketing operations of this up-and-coming operator. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos. Affinity Gaming is one of the industry's best-kept secrets. With properties in Nevada and several other states, Affinity is using unique marketing techniques to attract customers at its diverse casinos. Vince Lentini is the CMO and Senior Vice President and explains how the company uses the latest technology combined with unmatched customer service to create loyalty among its players. He spoke with me at the Affinity offices in Las Vegas in January. Vince Lentini, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. It's good to meet you. I've heard a lot about you, and certainly I'm a big fan of the company. Last year we made Michael Silverling one of our people to watch, and found him to be fascinating, and the company itself. So let's start with your experience. You spent a lot of years with Caesars, and later with the major Las Vegas casino, the Hard Rock. Why did you decide to move on to Affinity?
So the way that I came about joining Affinity was I was working for Hard Rock in Biloxi.
Okay.
And we were owned by a company called Leucadia National.
Mm-hmm.
And Leucadia National is also owns Jefferies and Company and a big investment bank. And they said, you know what? We do a lot of business in the casino world. We don't want to be in the casino world. It can be in conflict of interest.
Sure.
So we actually sold the company to Twin River Management. Mm-hmm. I was bought out of my contract, and then, you know, lo and behold, Mike and a guy named Phil Fortino mm-hmm. came knocking and said, hey, we're changing the management team at Affinity. It's a little bit of a broken business.
Right.
I think your skill set lines up, and, you know, within a couple months, I was out here living and breathing.
Great. So another change you had, you kind of got your start in the finance end of the business with being an analyst and a CFO and things of that nature. How did you get transitioned into marketing?
I was, for the first 6 years I was in the finance world, ascended to be a head of finance in the Tunica market for Harris Caesars.
Okay.
And then once again, we sold that property.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took on a role as a director of integration for the division at the time. And then was talking to one of my buddies, one of my mentors, a guy named Chris Corrado. And he goes, Vince, why don't you come work in marketing? I need somebody who can help me on the financial analytical mm-hmm. side of the business. And it's more fun to spend the money than it is to count it.
Right, that's
for
sure.
So went and worked with him. He taught me the softer side, advertising, brand mm-hmm. positioning, all of that.
Right.
Ultimately went and worked with Horseshoe Brand and decided, you know what, marketing is a whole heck of a lot more fun than accounting and finance.
Right. That's for sure. So you've got a lot of varied types of properties, you know, nice facilities, but totally different markets. You know, you've got the regional casinos, which are mostly local markets, the prim properties, which are kind of slash destination drive-by markets, and then you have the Silver Sevens in Vegas, which is, you know, a combination of locals and a convention property almost. Do you have, like, one overarching marketing philosophy, or do you market each property separately?
I think in order to understand our properties and where we've been, it's really a journey over the last 3 years. And the journey has been fixing the properties on the marketing reinvestment side.
Mm-hmm.
When I first walked in, we had properties that would give 110% reinvestment to
right.
their rated customers.
Right.
We had to change that.
Sure, of course.
And when you change that, it's very painful. It creates pain points for your customers, mm-hmm. for your employees. And customers and employees don't really understand why you're doing it.
Right.
you know, the great thing is coming into the third or fourth year of being of a management team, mm-hmm. we're done doing that.
Right.
So each property going forward, we're calling 2018 our pivot year. Mm-hmm. And our pivot year means that we are going to focus on quality, value, and experience for all of our guests. Okay. And this is going to be a property-by-property approach. Mm-hmm. We are going through a brand positioning exercise at Silver Sevens and Rail City, our Reno property,
right. Mm-hmm.
Where we're going to, for the first time since I've been here, go through consumer insights, brand development, hypothesis testing,
mm-hmm.
And then set up a framework for what these properties should mean for value and quality for our consumers. It's pretty exciting.
Sure.
And it is a property-by-property specific task.
Mm-hmm.
So Rail City is the most uber-frequent market that I've ever seen in my
right.
casino history. You know, we have customers who make 310 trips a year.
Wow.
And we have multiple customers
yeah.
who make 310 trips.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Sevens is very frequent as well, but
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit of a bifurcated market.
Right. Right.
You've got a hotel product that is appealing to people who want to stay near
mm-hmm.
the convention center or the airport.
Right.
We've got a huge international base that stay in that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for that? And then in the casino, it's very, very local.
Mm-hmm.
Over 80% of our customers come from within a 5-minute drive of that property.
Right.
So it's two different disparate experiences that we're going to go out there and say, this is what we really stand for and
right.
what we mean
mm-hmm.
to those customers.
Sure. So you do approach each property in a different manner.
Then. We do, yeah. And 2018, we're going to see that throughout all of our properties.
Okay, great. So, you know, casino marketing has changed over the years. And even just as recently, I guess, as 5 or 6 years ago, it was like direct mail and advertising and you know, some of the host direct marketing from that way. But things have changed. What have you seen change over that time?
You know, the things that we've seen change, particularly at Affinity, is our reliance on technology to enhance the customer
mm-hmm.
experience. So, and some of the things that we are doing that prove that out are 2018 is the year where we're building an electronic data warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means that we're going to be able to give specific offers to specific customers.
Right.
Based upon their preferences and what they play.
Mm-hmm.
First time we're going to be able to do that at Affinity. We've created CRM technologies, whether it be on the floor pinging of cell phones
mm-hmm.
for our hosts
right.
and our employees that say, this customer just checked in and
mm-hmm.
it's the first time they've been here in 90 days.
Right.
Go out there and make sure that they're having a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
We are shifting casino hosting from, you know, just sitting there kissing babies
right.
and shaking hands
mm-hmm.
to a more sales-oriented experience.
Right.
And that sales-oriented experience means that when a customer comes in, we're thinking about how do we extend their stay, how do we convert more trips out of them,
mm-hmm.
how do we say thank you for being there at the beginning, during, and end of their trip.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy I use, I just bought a pair of shoes off of the internet from this company called Taft.
Mm-hmm.
And within 5 days of receiving the shoes, I had a handwritten letter from the CEO of the company saying, thanks for buying the shoes. By the way, I'm going to be in the state of Nevada, and because it's too cold in Utah, would love to meet up.
Yeah.
For
just buying some shoes.
For buying a $250 pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I actually reached out to him and said, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And there's another technology out there called Bond that he uses
mm-hmm.
that basically takes his handwriting, he tells him what to say,
right.
and it shoots out 1,000 letters a week.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that for our hosts and try and see, because it's a very powerful message to get a handwritten note
sure,
from your host after every trip.
Yeah.
We're going to do that, and I think it's going to drive some loyalty.
So how have the hosts responded to this, you know, upgrade in technology? I know some of them are probably pretty old school.
Yeah, so look, there's some hosts who have been doing it for 20 years, mm-hmm. And change is difficult for them, right?
Right.
And there's some hosts that we've taken from other departments mm-hmm. or other disciplines and said, here's the program, make the program work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wildly successful.
Mm-hmm.
The proof's in the pudding in a lot of these cases, right? So a lot of the hosts that we've been bringing on board have come from car sales mm-hmm. or they've come from the slot performance department of the casino that they work mm-hmm. in. They're used to the structure. They're used to task-oriented business processes. They're wildly successful. Mm-hmm. They're exceeding the goals that we've set for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our other hosts, it's been a little bit difficult, and we've been managing that change accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
We have a guy in Rail City who's been a host, Bob Spencer, for 20, 30 years. He's killing it.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there. He's got the toughest customer base mm-hmm. in America, probably. And he goes out there, and he meets and greets, and uh-huh. he sits there and logs his tasks in the CRM, and he's killing it, and we're especially proud of, mm-hmm. of those guys. So.
Great, great. So there's some really great technology out there. I mean, Duetto has some great stuff, Rainmaker, Agilisys, and I'm sure you use parts of all of that. Are they compatible? Do they work together, or do you have to use them separately? How does that work?
We're pretty lucky. So we brought in Duetto very early in mm-hmm. my tenure here.
Right.
And as soon as we plugged it into the cash side of the business, we were seeing 30% increases in cash revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motto, you can't beat the machine.
Right.
So as a yield manager, the computer program and the machine itself is always going to be more perfect in the pricing strategy.
Sure.
And we've also had some great opportunities to work with the Agilisys of the world
mm-hmm.
to integrate Duetto
right.
and our booking engines
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we're taking advantage of all the technology that they have.
Sure.
We actually just signed up for Duetto's new product. We're the alpha site for them called Playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And what Playmaker allows you to do is personalized offers to
mm-hmm.
your known customer base.
Right.
And we're going to use that to hopefully drive more conversions on all of our digital advertising,
mm-hmm.
but also immediately make those customers part of our loyalty program where we can give them specific offers
mm-hmm.
with the ultimate goal of you know, shifting their business from OTAs, hotels.com,
sure,
things
right,
like that,
yep.
to our internal
mm-hmm.
booking engine.
Right.
We just redid all of our booking engines. Our previous ones looked like they were probably, a Ukrainian phishing site
right.
of some sort where
yeah.
they're going to try and get your credit card information and use it for nefarious reasons. We have a 21st century solution
mm-hmm.
that is adaptable and fully compatible with Duetto and all of the other source systems.
Right. So you've been able to use them to maximize the daily room rates at all your hotels.
Yeah. So we're using them for two different things. One is on the cash side.
Mm-hmm.
They give us the most perfect information that allows us to drive the
right.
best rates. The other thing is that we're doing is we're moving slowly but surely to offer online comp booking for
mm-hmm.
our casino customers.
Okay.
What does that mean? It means that I can send an email to my customer base, have them click on it, and
mm-hmm.
it automatically populates the offer window within
right.
Our booking engine, and I can convert a comp room much easier than
right.
I can right now. Right now, they have to call
sure.
our call center,
right.
and that's the only way they can get a reservation. We believe by increasing the ease of access, we're going to drive so many more conversions,
sure.
both at Prim and Silver Sevens.
Yeah. And you'll be able to know how many of these messages to blast out because you'll have the data that will
yeah.
support that.
I mean, the way that Duetto is not just a software company
right.
They also provide a customer success team. Mm-hmm. And so we have a guy named Nevin Reed who heads up our customer success. Right. He actually runs the program.
Okay.
And then he goes to the properties every week and meets with the management teams mm-hmm. and says, here's what I'm seeing in the trends of the business, right? It gives us our strongest leading indicator of whether or not our weekends are going to be strong or soft, right. and it allows us to program and market accordingly.
Right, okay. Is there any value to direct mail anymore? Is that something that you do at all now? Or?
Yeah, I say unfortunately. In 2018, I talked about our EDW and our campaign management mm-hmm. that we're going down the road of installing. As part of that is a massive data governance mm-hmm. Exercise.
Right.
The data for the past 3 years here has been pretty crappy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going forward and fixing that. We don't have the interconnectivity of here's what a customer's account number is mm-hmm. and worth,
right.
along with their email address.
Mm-hmm.
They're two totally separate systems.
Right.
We need to get them talking to each other so that I know that this email address is worth $100 right. when mm-hmm. I send them
sure.
an email. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. So, yes, direct mail is still a core part of our business.
Okay. Great.
Hopefully in the future, we will rely less and less on that mm-hmm. and move to more digital 21st century solutions.
Right. Okay, great. So how effective is social media to you when you're marketing your properties?
Yeah, so social media is pretty important and is becoming even more important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within our demographic in most areas is 55-year-old mm-hmm. female slot player.
Right.
Facebook is huge, right?
Yeah.
So Facebook gives you the opportunity to interact with your customers mm-hmm. at a level that is unprecedented within the marketing world.
Right.
It allows you to do some really cool custom audience mm-hmm. stuff. We use it. One of the best ways that we use social media is using Facebook custom audience
right.
to go after specific acts, entertainment acts mm-hmm. that we have at Prim.
Right.
Because you can just go into Facebook and say, let me target every single person that likes Styx.
Mm-hmm.
And then when these people are logging onto Facebook, they're going to see, oh, by the way, Styx is at Prim sometime in 2018.
Right.
And click on here to go buy your tickets or your package sale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredibly powerful tool that we use quite a bit.
Okay, so Facebook is the primary.
Facebook is the primary. I think as an industry, we are probably laggards
right.
in the other mm-hmm. Component. Instagram,
right.
Snapchat, all
yeah.
of those. We haven't figured out how to engage our customers
no,
to that
I haven't
level
figured
yet.
That out either.
Yeah, right.
yeah.
So, you know, I think Twitter is a medium which you. Personalities are what you follow rather
right,
than
right,
businesses,
right.
Unless you're Wendy's.
Sure.
Wendy's is one of those that is just nailing it
mm-hmm.
with their Twitter game and social
right.
media game. You know, I don't think we've developed our brands to the point
mm-hmm.
in which we can actually create that personality on those
right.
in those arenas.
Right. You know, I've been talking to some companies that are into this gamification process. Is that something you're considering as well?
You know, we work with OfferCraft.
Uh-huh.
We're on a little bit of a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And the hiatus is OfferCraft is gamification of their
right.
offers
mm-hmm.
through email and digital
sure.
advertising. And we work with them. We're on a hiatus. And the hiatus is actually on our end rather than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an incredible product.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit too powerful for where we are on
right.
the technology curve right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put it out there. And we would drive conversions.
Mm-hmm.
We had difficulty executing against it, right?
Right? Sure.
So
right.
There's so many great technologies like Aaron and those
right.
guys out there
sure.
who are doing great things. But one of the things that I've learned in the 3 years that I've been here is sometimes things are too advanced
right.
for where we are,
mm-hmm.
and we have to take a little bit of a pause
right.
and say...
And so you'll eventually catch up.
Yeah, we'll eventually catch up. And I think that, you know, with each year that passes, that
mm-hmm.
curve diminishes in length.
Right.
And so, you know, I think in 2018 we're probably going to go back to Aaron and those guys and say, here's what we've done. We've gotten a campaign management. We have better data. We have data governance. Let's turn this back on.
Right, okay.
Because it was just too cool of a tool.
Right, sure.
Right?
Right. If you can't figure out how it works, why even...
No, we can figure out how it works. We couldn't figure out how to operationalize it.
Okay, yeah, I understand. So how about the social casinos? Is that something that also falls into that we'll get to a category?
No, we actually have a partnership with Scientific Games.
Okay.
And we have A-Play Connect,
mm-hmm.
which is our own branded app out there,
mm-hmm.
and we do really well with it.
Yeah.
We're constantly looking at the strategic options mm-hmm. around that.
Right.
I mean, there's last year alone, like five of these sold for hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And these are customers who are playing for fun via micropayments
mm-hmm.
with no chance of winning any real tangible things.
Yeah.
Some of them have a loyalty program attached to them, but we're looking at is we're going to continue our partnership with Scientific Games. Is there an opportunity to bring one of these in house
mm-hmm.
and implement? And this is an older term, but it's a bricks and clicks model that says if you play on the internet, you will get rewarded via our loyalty program mm-hmm. in our bricks and mortar facilities. There's a huge opportunity there. It's whether or not we want to deploy our capital in that manner, and whether or not we're ready for that. Right?
Yeah, no question.
So,
great. So you have, you know, many, many different brands. You mentioned the Prim Properties, Whiskey Pete, Prima Donna. You've got the Silver Seven, the Rail City, and then each of your local properties all have a different brand. How do you bring all that together, or do you build each brand separately?
Yeah. So we Affinity is the old Terrible Herbs company,
right?
And they brought together 11 casinos, 7 regions.
Mm-hmm.
Through different acquisitions and such. And they didn't have a single brand to go out there with a flagship.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Silver Sevens, and you have Lakeside, and you have St. Joe Frontier Casino. All of them have different looks and different cultures.
Right.
What we've tried to do is say, what does the customer look like
mm-hmm.
at each place? And put together marketing and value for those customers based on what they look like. The Midwest, we've been pretty successful in mm-hmm. creating, you know, a little bit of a homogeneous marketing calendar,
mm-hmm.
A little bit of a, you know, everything looks the same out there.
Mm-hmm.
Get to Colorado, it's got a little bit of Midwest, a little bit of Las Vegas mm-hmm. look and feel. And then as we get here to Las Vegas, Prim, and Rail City, those are totally different animals that we have to treat differently.
Right.
And a lot of it is, you know, Prim has 14,000 VIP customers mm-hmm. that come 1.4 times a year, whereas Rail City has 800 VIP customers mm-hmm. that come 200 times a year.
Right.
You have to talk to them. You have to give them reinvestment in totally different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that, and we're going to continue to do that, there are economies of scale that we're going to look to go after. If we do a slot tournament, we're probably going to name it the same throughout the entire organization,
right?
Especially if it's around a holiday. Mm-hmm. St. Patty's Day, slot tournament can be the same everywhere.
Sure.
And we get our economies of scale that way.
Sure, okay. Let's talk about the Prim properties. You know, you mentioned the entertainment down there, and you have some really, really high-powered entertainment access. How does that work for you? You mentioned you give them packages of rooms and they get a ticket then.
Well, we very early on, we went out and struck up a partnership with a group called C3 Presents.
Mm-hmm.
C3 does Lollapalooza, mm-hmm. Austin City Limits.
Right.
One of the unknown facts that they is also they have a casino division.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've been able to do is take some of the other casinos that they represent
right.
and do some routed opportunities
right.
that increase the value for all of the parties involved.
Sure, right.
And so, for example, there's a big country guy out there named Gary Allen.
Mm-hmm. John,
and Gary, yep. Gary Allen, you know, charges $75,000, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is we can go out to Gary Allen with their other partners and say, hey, for $65,000, we're going to give you 20 plays
right.
throughout. It drives our costs down.
Sure.
It allows us to bring in entertainment that is usually beyond our budget,
mm-hmm.
And just create a better experience for our customers.
Yeah, yeah.
We do a heck of a hotel business mm-hmm. anytime we do a concert out there.
Yeah.
The one thing that we've learned at Prim is that there's an underserved Hispanic Latin
okay.
concert
mm-hmm.
Strategy out there
right.
that we have been slowly but steadily increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we do a Latin Hispanic concert out there,
mm-hmm.
we get 5,000, 6,000 customers
mm-hmm.
to our front door.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
Great. Well, another attraction in Prim is the retail, the outlet mall. How do you promote that?
Well, so the retail mall is not owned by us.
Okay.
It's a totally separate
mm-hmm.
Business. The way that we partner with them is through shopping days,
mm-hmm.
discounts.
Okay.
What we typically do is during the Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
during Christmas, Thanksgiving, we usually do our own Black Friday promotions
okay. yep.
where we buy gift cards and,
sure.
and
right,
the
right.
such.
And, you know, the Silver Sevens in town here is just a fascinating property. You know, like you say, when you go in there, you can tell they're all locals. They know, they love the property. But then you mentioned this international market you have. Nobody would have even imagined
yeah.
that you have an international market, but you do. So how do you approach, like, blending those markets, or do they even blend?
Yeah, I mean, so they do blend, you know, I talked earlier about the Consumer Insights brand
mm-hmm.
Study. We want to know what our customers want from us.
Yeah.
And we haven't done a really good job of understanding that. So,
mm-hmm.
Complementing that, we're also going through a master planning exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And the master planning exercises includes third-party restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It includes new bars on the casino floor. It includes a totally redone second floor space.
Right.
All of that is going to be driven by what our customers tell us
mm-hmm.
they want. And then on the hotel side, we're running 96% occupancy at that
mm-hmm.
property.
Right.
When the city fills up, we're able to get very, very healthy rates.
Right.
We love the international business.
Sure.
You know, I think that if I had to guess how we got there
mm-hmm.
is we have positioned ourselves as the closest casino to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
We've positioned ourselves as a secondary player within the convention world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, European, Canadian travelers are more used to walking a longer distance
right.
than, you know, the American traveler is.
Right.
So they say, oh, it's only 0.8 miles from the Las Vegas Strip.
Right.
That's great. And I can save, you
mm-hmm.
know, $40 on the room.
Sure.
Done. It's a little bit of a hostile type mentality
mm-hmm.
when
right.
they're booking their rooms.
Right.
And we're perfectly positioned to take advantage of it.
Sure. Great. And Michael mentioned some things you're doing with esports and just different kinds of gambling down there. Are you still keeping those things up?
We took a break from the esports.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had it on the casino floor. We moved
mm-hmm.
it to our bingo room, which
right.
was there. Our bingo room is under construction right
mm-hmm.
now. We're putting meeting space and a pre-function lounge area up
okay.
there. My expectation is that once that's done,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go back out there and see what esports can do for us.
Okay. And with the sports betting legalization, you guys have sports bets. You have William Hills in all your properties?
We do. We have William Hills.
So if it's legalized in the rest of the country and the states you're in, you're ready to hop into sports betting then?
Yeah. So we actually have some pretty constant contact with William Hill as well as our general counsel and say, what's going on with sports betting in these different areas? And my understanding of it is that waiting to hear from the Supreme Court, and then once that happens, if it's favorable, then the states will decide how they're going to legalize it.
Sure.
And we're perfectly positioned with our partnership with William Hill to jump into any state that legalizes it and makes it available to us.
Sure, no question. There's a lot of consolidation in the regional markets with the El Dorado Isle deal and now the Pinnacle and Penn deal. How are you guys looking at that at this point? Is that going to impact your properties at all?
You know, the consolidation is interesting. We are owned by a company called Z Capital, and Z Capital Private Equity has access to funds that their investors give them. I know that they are constantly looking at the strategic options of the business.
Right.
One of the things that the consolidation has done has moved a lot of these assets for sale. And I think that we're looking at a lot of different options out there. So, you know, we as a management team would love to grow this business. And the consolidation has created a lot of casinos out there that are currently for sale. And we look at them all the time.
So you mentioned the A-Play Players Club. Does that arch over all of the casinos now, or is it individual?
Yeah, so it's one branded loyalty program. But what we do is we look at each casino and region separately. So you actually, in Lakeside, it's a different point criteria to hit our highest tier platinum than it is at Silver Sevens. And that's primarily based upon customer worth and visitation pattern. So the customers in Lakeside, you know, come two times more than the customers at Silver Sevens. So we created a program that is universal, but at the same time, local to the specific casino.
Okay. But if somebody's playing at your Lakeside casino and wants to take a trip to Las Vegas, you and they're a good player,
We do that all the time. We do it either via the hosts. We do a lot of specific parties where, hey, George Strait's playing at T-Mobile. You want to come out for the weekend and see him. And we do it via concentrated mailings. We do a cross-property mailer to those customers and basically say, if you want to come to Prim or Silver Sevens, here's your package. Free hotel rooms, free play, you know, food credit, all of that. Our customers in the Midwest and Colorado have access to that at any time.
Okay, they must love that, too.
You know, the guys in St. Joe and Mark Twain love it every time we do one of these events.
Well, Vince, you're here with a very progressive company, and thanks for the time. I appreciate it. I'd like to stay in touch to find out, you know, how this progresses because it is something different that's being done in the industry, and we always appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit ggbmagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit ggbnews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.